yourself to your best life in the lounge. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life.
Good evening and welcome to the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge, everyone. I'm Annette Gomez, and joining me this evening, the whole family's here, Kelly, Titania, and Shankara, for our roundtable discussion as we kick off our series entitled Money, Money, Money and Diversifying Your Portfolio. And no one knows it better than our next guest, real estate guru, Ms. Kendall Lockett. Kendall, welcome to the lounge.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Kendall, before we get to our roundtable discussion, let me introduce you to our podcast listeners. Kendall is known to many as the light in real estate, a successful entrepreneur, podcaster, blogger, licensed real estate agent, broker, and real estate investor. Kendall is the founder and CEO of Kendall Media Group, a company creating digital resources, tools, and education for beginning real estate investors. Within CMG, Kendall is the creative writer for the blog KendallLockett.com. She's also hosted the podcast Lighting Up Real Estate and, of course, creator for KendallUniversity.com. A native of Chattanooga, Tennessee, she is the proud HBCU graduate, of Fort Valley State University, obtaining a BS in education and a master's in social counseling. Her overall goal is to inspire you to use real estate to build wealth. She's in the right place this evening. So once again, welcome, Kendall.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. We have lots to talk about, girl. You are one busy
lady.
So let's just dive in, Kendall. Let's just dive in. You have a very interesting story about your pathway to real estate because, from what I understand, it's the career that almost didn't happen. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Oh, yeah. Because I went to Fort Valley State as a third-generation educator. And ironically, even at my time at Fort Valley State, a professor said, you know, he was a math professor, and I had to take some type of introductory to math or ed. And I think when I was trying to get it for my my degree, it was the class that I was going to take was actually full. So I had to go over to the business department. And in the business department, I had to take business math 101. And I was intimidated. I was nervous. Like, what does an education teacher know about business math? And I got in there, and it was like I was supposed to be in there. It was incredibly easy. I sat in the front of the class. Everything made sense. Like, I was ready to open up a store and everything. But it's like, nope, I am a education major. I got to teach kindergarten. I'm going to be a principal, superintendent, not thinking about this business, just get the A and leave. And one particular afternoon, the professor actually called me into his office and he was like, I got to talk to you. I'm thinking I'm in trouble. I'm failing the class. And he was like, I just want to let you know you're in the wrong, you know, major. You need to be in business. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm a third generation educator. And I was just giving my spiel and everything. And this man is looking at me like I'm crazy. He was like, I know what I'm talking about. You know more than my majors. You need to be over here in this building. You're in the wrong building. This is too easy for you. This is your calling. And I'm looking at him like, no. Thank you. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm out. So I go on, get my degree in education, and I start teaching kindergarten. And ironically, it was a parent that one time told me, you will be so great in real estate. And I'm teaching kindergarten. I'm like, no, I'm not interested in that. Not interested, not hearing it. And every so often, like every 4 or 5 years, there was always this one little message or someone telling me, I need to be in real estate. I need to be in real estate. But I didn't do anything in real estate. And I said, where is this coming from? And it was like, okay, this is weird. So ironically, when the market had crashed, I did have a couple of properties and I was a part of the crash because I did lose some of them because they were some really bad mortgages. And I didn't know as much as I needed to know to have the properties anyway. So I said, okay, I'm going to go teach overseas and wait for the market to return. I'm going to come back and buy some properties. And my parents are real estate investors. So when I came back, unfortunately, I had to come back because my father was diagnosed with cancer. And during that time, my dad's best friend was a financial planner. And my father, unfortunately, he passed away. And at the end of the funeral, my dad's financial planner said, you know that when people inherit things, they lose it within 3 years. And I was just like, wait a minute, what? Wait a minute, that's not going to be us. That's not going to be us. And so finally, it was like, you know, this time I'm going to make sure that we, you know, take this inheritance seriously. We're not going to lose it. We know what we're doing. I know what I'm doing this time. And this time I was like, okay, God, I'm going to answer the call. I will definitely pursue real estate. So I went ahead and got uncomfortable, got into the real estate class, and it was like I was supposed to be there. It was just like that business math 101 all over again.
That's amazing, Kim. So from one wildcat to another, the light that you have is letting you leave your purpose, no pun intended. So from one wildcat to another, we are so glad that you did. So Kendall, I was just having a conversation with a friend who was taught by their dad about the importance of investing in real estate. And that's not always the case in the African-American community. So it's always a missed opportunity. So tell us why it's so important to take a strong look at investing in real estate.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, it's an asset. It's something that is left behind that if you could prepare it the correct way, because like one thing about what I learned when my father had passed away, and I think that was the aha moment, like I'm not running from this, God. I'm going to definitely spread this message any way I can. Just use me in a miraculous way because it was an amazing opportunity. I did not have to go back to work when my father was diagnosed with cancer because immediately I was like, okay, I got to get a job. I got to get a classroom. I got to, you know, go back to teaching immediately. My dad was like, why? Just go around and collect the rent and let that pay the bills. And it was the biggest aha moment for me. And I'm like, how come other families don't know about this? And it was ironic at the same time that while I was with my father, I had other friends that were dealing with family members that were dealing with terminal illnesses, and they had to go to work. And I felt so kind of, you know, guilty, like, oh my gosh, I have the opportunity, the advantage to have these memories with my dad where other people can't say they've had this. So it was like, I'm going to definitely share this with everybody that I know. It's real estate. That creates passive streams of income. Like while I was sleeping, while my father was sleeping, we were making money. That was paying the bills. And we didn't have to work.
Right.
So it just became a message or, you know, my calling, like, this is what I'm going to tell everybody about is real estate. And it was effortless. And I think a lot of people have misconceptions about real estate, like it's hard to have, or you have horrible tenants and all of these things. It's not true at all. I forget I have properties. I mean, it's effortless system. It's just, and you just do it. I mean, yeah.
That's great. It's about passing on the knowledge. And we've got another wildcat in the room, Kendall. And Kelly actually taught me a little bit. She's been doing it for years, so I know she had some questions as well.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, wildcat. What's happening?
It's great to have you in the lounge.
Oh, thank you.
I love your story. I love your story about how you got into the business side of things and, you know, how you got into real estate with your father's teaching. And wow. And that's what we're all about, right? Generational wealth.
Yeah.
And whether, I don't know if a whole lot of people really realize it, but our Caucasian counterparts, that's really a lot how they build their generational wealth, right? It's through real estate.
Absolutely.
That's what I understand. So,
absolutely.
But Kimberly, you said that it's not hard. But child, look, I am the HGTV queen. I love I love House Hunters and Love It or List It. But that doesn't necessarily mean I know how to get into the real estate business. So, Kim, how does someone get started? How do you get started in real estate?
Okay. That's a great question. I would say that, well, for one, even to be an heir and receive the multi-generational wealth is just like somebody that's never been in real estate before. You still have to learn. Because there's still a reason why my dad's friend had told me that heirs lose all their assets within 3 years and what they inherit because they were never taught how to take care of it. They were never taught how to manage it. They were never taught how to create a system for it so that it can keep going from generation to generation, right? So in that same effort, if you're going to be a beginning real estate investor, you still have to learn. You still have to get guidance continuously. Well, leave HGTV alone because there's nothing true or real about it when it comes to real estate investing. But you really have to learn. I mean, I still learn every single day. I have to get some type of information into my head about how I can be a better investor or
wait
how
a minute,
I can serve my clients.
Are you saying that I'm not an expert because I watch HGTV? Like,
no.
You blow up my bubble here.
Not a real estate investor. No. Now, if you can show anybody how to flip a house and make a profit within an hour, like they do all those shows, then you're the expert. Because I have yet to talk to anybody that can say they learned anything from HGTV. Anytime I watch HGTV, I got into a hole and upside down and some nonsense. I'm like, I'm leaving it alone. I'm not going to do it.
Okay, I'm duly warned. But what's my first step? Tell me my first step to get involved in real estate.
Okay, your first step is, one, making the decision that you want to get into real estate. But it's the why. Because, like I said, you know, HGTV can get you into some trouble. But even without HGTV, you can still get into trouble with real estate investing when you're a beginner, because you're going to learn from your mistakes, right? So your why has to be very, very big. You've got to figure out why you're doing this. So when that contractor walks away with your money and doesn't finish the job, you still go on to the next property. Or that tenant may decide to leave, you know, your property earlier than planned, and you've got to pay the mortgage out of pocket. Your why still has to be bigger so that you will continue to put a sign in the yard and get another tenant in there. So you always have to have a why. If you don't have a why, then you're not going to do it. You're not going to stay with it at all, because you're just doing it for the gram, or just doing it to see, oh, let me just try it like HGTV. If your why is there, you continually do it because you have a bigger purpose and an end goal. So it's kind of like you start with the end in mind. And then that's how you get into real estate. Because you hear, when I talk to investors on my podcast and I ask, like, why did you get started? It's because, oh, I want to make sure that my child doesn't have to work when they grow up. They can choose to be an investor, or, you know, they could decide to become a professional violinist. It's they have more options when I, you know, create this passive stream of income through real estate. Or they may say, my why is I am going to buy up 13, 14 properties, have my tenants pay them all off, and then I'm retiring into Florida, which I actually saw happen at a closing table. So, and if you stay focused on that why and it's so big, it will happen. So, and then it's unstoppable. If you know that you have a why and you want to get it done through real estate, it'll happen. It's like a magic wand. So that would be the first thing, is determining your why.
Okay, we talked about having an inheritance to get started, or I guess that's how a lot of people get started. But what if you don't have a whole lot of money? I mean, do you have to have money? Do you have to have credit? Or can you just start with your empty pockets and your why?
That's a great question. Well, this is the thing. It goes back to the why. Because if your why is so big, you will get the credit. You will have the money. Because this is what I tell a lot of people, because they reach out to me a lot. And they'll say, okay, Kendall, I want to get a house by my son's birthday, and it's in 5 weeks. And it's like, no, that can't happen. Because one, it's still a step-by-step. And I was telling someone yesterday, like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You can't immediately think that, okay, I'm going to become a real estate investor today, and then I'll have a house by the end of the month. It doesn't work like that. It's like you can't plant a seed today and then have a plant by tomorrow. It takes a minute. I would say generally give yourself about 6 months before you get your first property. But in the same time, it's not like you're just waiting. You're literally learning every single day. You're taking classes. You are, you know, on YouTube. You're in Facebook groups. You're, you know, looking at blogs. You're in the clubhouse. Like, you're constantly learning. And the more you learn, then it's like, okay, I'm ready to take my first step. Because, like, as you learn, you'll hear the conversations, or you'll read the books that'll tell you, like, how you can get a house with zero money down, which is possible, but then it's not really possible. So you also get the discipline of, okay, I need to save up this amount of money, but because I might go with this option, because there's so many ways that you can finance getting your first property, right? So you can say, well, I want to go with a hard money lender. Well, if you go with a hard money lender, which is the most common way people do it, it's the easiest way, because you're not leveraging your own money. You go with a hard money lender, they're going to want to see you put some money in the game too. They can't just think, oh, I'm about to give you $100,000 to have a property. It doesn't work like that. We got to make sure you're not walking away from the property. So it's kind of like, we need you to show your credit, which is not a lot of a high credit score. It's like maybe 650 to 660. It's increased because of COVID. But you do have to show that you have a certain amount of money in your bank account. Not saying that you have to use it, but they've got to see that if for any reason, you know, you're having issues with your contractors, yet again, that you can pay out of pocket until you start making withdrawals for your loan with a hard money lender, right? Then typically another way that you can get started investing with no money is that you can just borrow money from investors. But you still have to know so much, because you can't just come up to me and say, hey, Kendall, I want to flip a property, or I want to become a landlord and we can all receive passive income. Just give me $10,000. Well, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions, right? So you still have to have the knowledge to explain to your investors, like, this is what we're going to do. This is what the return is going to be. This is how soon you're going to see returns. And this is what we're going to do next. So it still comes back to the beginning of getting that knowledge first.
So in addition to my why, I got to do some work.
I need
to
do
some research. I need to get myself edumacated,
and network.
I love it. I love it. And a dose of reality. I love how you said, you know, yeah, you can do it without money. You can do it with, you know, a lower credit score, but it's better to have a better credit score and do your planning so that you're looked at seriously and you have something to bring to the game, right? That's
absolutely
awesome. I love it. I love it. Well, listen, we have come, Candle, to the part of the show where you got to pay some bills.
Okay.
So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with one of my other co-hosts, Tanya, who's going to ask a few questions. But hang with us, everyone. This is Candle Lockett. She is breaking it down for us on real estate. Stay with us. Classy, chic, cultured, custom group travel. That's the Exceptional Travel Destination Travel Club way. From Miami to Dubai and all the places in between, XTD Travel Club has you covered. Whether you're planning a vacation or staycation, here at XTD Travel Club, we believe your next vacation is only limited to how big you are willing to dream. Customized, all-exclusive, upscale travel for groups is what we do. Celebrating a milestone birthday, anniversary, or just want to get away with family and friends, but you want someone else to plan the trip? From the black car service that picks you up and takes you to the airport to the group dinner at your all-inclusive resort, well, our XTD Concierge Travel Service has you covered. And did we mention we offer installment payment plans on many of our packages? Well, we do. So we've got you covered there, too. You just tell us where and when, and we will take care of the rest. Visit us today on the web at www.exceptionaltravel.com. That's exceptional with an X. On Facebook at Exceptional Travel Destinations Travel Club, or on Instagram at Exceptional Travel Destinations, or call us at 844-XTD-TRAVEL and get ready to live, explore, and celebrate one XTD vacation at a time. Mention code EELVK10 and receive 10% off your first travel package with XTD Travel Club.
Welcome back, everyone. This is your girl, Tanya. How are you? I am so excited. Candle, girl, I'm over here taking some notes. Real estate is one of my favorite topics, and your energy is infectious. Thank you so much for joining us in the lounge this evening. So I want to talk to you. You know, real estate is something that, you know, I know I've dibbled and dabbled into a little bit to the bust, you know, a few years ago. And so it's always top of mind, always something I'm interested in. But let's talk about a few of the mistakes that people make when investing. I know there's quite a bit. You are a successful real estate investor and agent. And just want to, can you hit just on a couple of the top two things that people make when investing in real estate?
Where do you start? Well, I don't see it as a bad thing. Because when you make the mistakes, as long as you learn from them, then it's actually an opportunity to grow your business. So I really don't see it as a bad thing, but there are lots of mistakes that you can make. I still make mistakes. I think, and it's a good thing. It's like, oh, next time you've got to do it this way. Oh, next time you got to do it that way. But I think one of the biggest mistakes I see is that investors really don't believe in how good they actually are. They have a lot of doubts. And I'm even speaking about myself. When we do certain deals, we give more power to other people when we're actually the bosses. And it seems to be pretty common, especially in African-American women that are investors. And I'm in several groups, and it comes up as a topic of discussion of how we're treated so differently when they see that it's a female that is the boss. And I think one of the mistakes is that we give too much power to men thinking, because they, of course, automatically want to be, oh, I know what I'm doing, or I know how to do this. And yeah, it's like, no, you don't. And plus, I'm holding a checkbook. I would say the mistakes that we see is not knowing our true value or worth in the game. But that just comes with the learning. Like, the more you do it, the more you realize, like, I'm the one that's in control. I'm the one that's making the decisions. I do the hiring and firing instead of giving it to other people. And it seems to be a common thing that I've noticed among other investors. We always get to that place where we've gotten into deals with other people because we mm-hmm. didn't want to put a lot of money down at the beginning real estate investment. So we partner, but then when we partner, we give the other person power, and then they leave or walk away, and you get stuck with a horrible situation that you've got to fix. So I just think it's not knowing our true worth in this, because it's a way that you want to humble yourself. Like, yeah, I want to show humility. You know, I'm coming in as a new investor. I want to learn from other people. But it's still like, you're still a real estate investor. You're that boss.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest mistake that that's common in real estate investing.
I love that. I love that you said that, you know, there aren't really any mistakes, right? There's a way that you can minimize risk, which that's part mm-hmm. of just learning your craft, right? But they're all learning opportunities, right?
Yeah.
And so it kind of molds you into the person, and knowing your worth. Like, step out there. That's what the lounge is about. It's just do it, right?
Just
do something
it.
New. Just do it. And so I love that. I love that. So let me ask you, so we have some podcast listeners that are, you know, of course, renting, and then we have some mm-hmm. owners as well. So give us a little bit of, what's the difference? You know, what's better, owning or renting? Right. So we have idea in our head. Right. So I want you to kind of break that down a little bit about the opportunities with really just owning ownership. Break that mm-hmm. down for us a little bit.
Well, I mean, one, it's by far. I mean, and don't get it wrong, listeners. There is nothing wrong with being a renter. It's, you know, because this is shelter. We all need a place to stay. So I don't want anybody to feel bad, like I'm renting and I'm in a situation, because there was a time where I was a real estate investor and I started renting. There was a time when I literally used the strategy of renting to my advantage and leverage to get back into real estate investing. And I went into real estate as an agent full time. I decided to rent out my house, and I rented from one of my best friends a room in her house. So I became a rentor. So it's like how you use it as a strategy. But I would definitely say at the end of the day, you still want to have ownership in something. Because if you, and I remember, like, even this week, it was something going around on the internet that was just being, I guess, tagged and forwarded. And I've seen it all over the place. I'm like, why are people sharing this crazy idea? But in the post, it said something like, Why are people giving renters a hard time? If you're owning a house, you're still renting because you don't own it. You have a mortgage. And I'm like, and people are like, yeah, that's so true. That's so true. They're renting as well. I'm like, no, they're not. Because when you own something, especially right now during the COVID pandemic, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but an article came out saying that right now in this pandemic, there is $1 trillion worth of equity. Because everybody that owns a home has 10% or more in equity.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that if you're renting an apartment.
Right.
You're not
right.
a recipient of that.
Right.
And I'm thinking right now, like, if you are reading the books, if you're knowing your why and you're getting a strategy, you can use that equity that's sitting in your house to your advantage. This is how you get into real estate investing. This is how you can call your lender and get a line of credit and say, you know what? I'm ready to start that business. I'm ready to buy a couple of properties to get some tenants in place, or I'm ready to flip some properties. But you can't have these conversations if you're renting an apartment. And
right.
that's what's unfortunately the difference.
Right. I love that. I love that, Candle. Y'all got that? Y'all taking some good notes? I'm over here writing viciously. That is good. So I know Shankar has a couple of questions.
Absolutely, Candle. Great knowledge that you're dropping here in the lounge today, my sister. We appreciate you coming out to talk to
Thank
us.
You.
This is amazing. I don't often share this, but, you know, since we're talking about real estate, I'm also a licensed real estate agent and have been one for probably about 17 years. And
mm-hmm.
I've been an investor, and I can attest to a lot of what you're saying is absolutely 100% accurate, having been an investor. I, on the other hand, can say I've had some pretty challenging tenants sometimes in some of my rental properties when I own them. I'm interested in having you tell me how I can implement strategies and not have that be my situation if I decide to invest again, which I definitely do. And you've definitely been encouraging me, just listening to you on this
mm-hmm.
call, to get back into the investment arena. But that being said, I wanted to ask, because I read a very interesting article just a couple weeks ago, talking about the whole moratorium on foreclosures, right? And how how that moratorium was a very interesting article that Forbes magazine did, talking about how the foreclosures are impacting the housing market. And I think it goes to the point that you just made about how people talk about owning a home is like investing. And I want you to share kind of, you know, what you've seen as the trend in real estate as a result of foreclosures, because I think that debunks the myth too about if you're renting, you still, you know, if you own a home, you're still kind of sort of renting, because it really doesn't. Can you talk about that a little bit, about the foreclosures and how they're affecting the housing market?
Yeah, because I think right now, I think it's, is it one in six? Every, I think it's one in six, if I'm not mistaken. It's a big number. And I've been reading a lot on it and going into a lot of forums discussing it, have not, they have signed up for the, I guess, the forbearance right now during COVID-19 to not pay their mortgage. And the concern was these mortgages were actually due, the payments were actually due this coming March. And then from my understanding, President Biden has extended that, I think, until like October or something in the fall.
Yeah, November. But, yeah, absolutely.
November. Yeah. And the concern is like, because I've seen a lot of people, like especially real estate investors that are using their opportunity to start teaching or coaching, like this is how you're going to take advantage of it, because it's going to be like one out of six homes are going to be, you know, not lost through foreclosure because, you know, we don't have jobs and da 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 da. And I'm like, I honestly don't see it happening. I don't think President Biden is going to let that many houses go into foreclosure like that. I don't know what is going to take place. I just don't see it. I can't, especially during COVID, because a lot of people still don't have homes. I don't see him saying you're out on the street. I can't see it. What they're going to do is maybe forgive. You know, or not, because I think what they were doing was putting them in the back of the loan and maybe letting you continue and then you just refinance and you just start a new loan anyway. I don't know, but I can't see it.
Wow. Yeah, I know one of the things we saw too as a result of is because there's no foreclosure, that means there's no inventory on the low end of so like the housing market, the housing prices are going through the roof. I mean, literally going through the roof in just the last year, because there's no inventory for people who are trying to buy, because there's nothing you can get at that low end because there's no foreclosures going on. So it's definitely going to be a situation for us to watch. I agree. And you're right. I don't know. We hope that he doesn't allow these houses to go in foreclosure and that there's some kind of a plan being crafted on the back end so people can keep their homes. But it's just a very interesting time, you know. And I know you were talking about the, I think this goes back to the same question you were talking about a few moments ago when you were saying people were saying, you know, when you own a home, it's still like renting. But there are some tax benefits that you can still get, right, if you own a home. Can you talk about those tax benefits?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, definitely when you own a home, you get to write off your closing costs. You get to write off the interest that you paid on your mortgage. I mean, and you can create a business. That's another thing too that I always get my clients when we get to the closing table. It's like, okay, I need you to start a business from home. You need to have an office. I need you to get an LLC. Create something, because you can write all of the stuff off.
That's
from owning
a
house.
great piece of advice. Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Wow. So definitely when you buy your new home, that's a great piece of advice, Kendall. When you buy your first home or your home, make sure you start a home-based business, because that does give you some additional write-offs. I think all of us who are on this call can kind of attest to that. So that is a great tax benefit. So you guys, you heard it. When you close on that new home or that second home, if you don't already have a business, make sure you get yourself a home-based business, because it does entitle you to some additional benefits from a taxing standpoint that you would not otherwise get. And I think all of us on this call can attest to that. That's great. That's great information, Kendall. Thank you for sharing that. You know, let's talk about planning for the future, right?
Okay.
You don't want to end up in probate, right? And when you have a parent, and you talk about your father, you know, passing, you know, and our condolences to you on that. But when you, and I've seen this happen with some friends of mine, they had a home and I'll use it right now. I actually have a family member that just passed away from COVID-19 back in December.
Oh, wow.
And the house is just there, right? And because that person passed, now the house has got to, at some point, of course, it can't be foreclosed on right now because there's more, but at some point you know, the his family members that are still around, he has a stepson and a daughter, you know, they're going to want to get that property. But depending on how you did, most people didn't expect to have COVID, right? So a lot of people weren't really prepared, right, to make sure they put all their finances and everything in order. So tell us about planning for the future when it comes to owning real estate. How do you make sure, you know, that property doesn't end up in probate? You know, someone should pass away and really have wanted that house to go to, you know, person A or person B. How do you make sure that happens?
Okay, that is a great question, because right now we're having a conversation with a transfer of wealth. And this is something that we don't talk about.
Absolutely.
And in my interview, I did a podcast interview, episode 17, how to transfer generational wealth from one to another at real estate planning. I interviewed an attorney, Chanel Trimble, and I would encourage anybody to go and listen to this. It was amazing. I need to rebroadcast that thing again and have her back, because I don't think we got the message out really clear, because like you said, you know, COVID is real. And I've seen several people that I don't even know even on my Facebook page have passed away from COVID. And we don't have these conversations. And it was something that she said so profound in that interview, which was bigger than talking about how to avoid the probate and creating the will and living trust with an attorney. But she said that we don't have these conversations before we're gone. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she was like, before you pass, if you know that you have real estate, period, or any assets, if you have stocks, if you have bonds, you need to be sharing this with your family members. So, and that even comes with insurance policies, that you have these things and that person who you're telling is going to be the recipient of them. Because then it still goes back to what I said at the beginning of our conversation, is that when you let someone know, like, hey, I have this house, you're going to receive the deed to it. This is what you've got to do. You've got to know how much the taxes are. You've got to know what the mortgage is. You've got to know when to pay the mortgage. You've got to know, you know, when the utility bills are. All of those things come down to being prepared to receive the asset or the heir. It still comes back to that conversation.
Right.
And that's what she said was so profound. And it changed the game for me, because we don't talk about it. And that would be the first thing with even estate planning or probate planning, because there's no point in even doing. I really want you to go back and listen to the interview. I don't want to say too much because I'm not an attorney, but I know she did mention having the living trust and the will prepared with an attorney, but it still means nothing. It doesn't mean anything if you haven't prepared anybody for it. They still might lose it. It goes right back to what my financial planner said. You're going to lose it. So you have to prepare them and let them know. Because she said, like, the hardest part when she has to disclose, you know, the will to the family members, is that you might have, you know, Annette, who is, you know, the business major who knows about wealth and finance, but then might have a cousin named Jimmy, and Jimmy's been in and out of jail. Jimmy has never kept anything. But then when it comes to reading the will, Jimmy gets the house. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, and it's just like, and she said it happens more than you know. And it's like, why? First of all, because of course Annette's going to be upset. You know, she's like, wait a minute, I'm the one that can keep the house. Let me keep it and maintain it so that Jimmy could live in it. But it goes the other way around. So that's why she's saying it's so important to have these conversations while you're alive.
Absolutely. And I think that's a very valid point and a great piece of advice. You guys, heard, you know, you want to have the conversations, right? You want to make sure that you are creating that legacy, and real estate is a vehicle in which to do it, you know, and you need to get educated. You need to get educated about it. Mm-hmm. You need to have the conversations. All those are great pieces of advice that, you know, Kendall Lockett has shared with us here on the show today. Kendall, we want to take a moment to just really thank you for coming on board this morning. These amazing nuggets about becoming a real estate investor, and more importantly, being able to keep that investment and creating a legacy that you can pass down from generation to generation. How can people get in touch with you if they have additional questions?
Okay, you can go to my website, candlelockett.com, or you can also go to lightinguprealestate.com. Instagram, Facebook, under candlelockett.com, I'm there.
All right. Well, amazing. Well, Kendall, thank you so much for joining us today here on the show. We really appreciate you, and we wish you continued success in all your business endeavors.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yes, guys, Kendall, thank you for lighting up the room. No pun intended, dear.
That's going to do it for everyone this evening, everybody. Join us next week as we continue our series, Money, 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 Diversifying Your Portfolio. We're talking about what everybody's talking about these days, the most popular way of transferring money, Bitcoin. So have a great week, everybody.
Take your sheets off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life in the lounge. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life in the lounge. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life in the lounge. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind. Yourself to your best life in the lounge. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life in the lounge. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life in the lounge. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life in the lounge.